Good morning. Happy 2021. Woo! Happy New Year. So I'm Sarah Green, and I work with Outreach and Children's Ministry here at CTK. And it's a pleasure to be able to be here this morning and just to bring the word. But before we dive in, let's just bring it to God one more time in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this morning. We thank you for the newness of each day. We just thank you just as we sang in this song, Lord, and just this message that you've put on my heart this morning to bring, Lord. Just use your word, but may we be available, Lord, that we would hear your call and that we would say yes. But as we dive into this new year, God, that we would just cleanse ourselves of what is not of you, Lord, and fill ourselves of what is you, Father. May these words come from you, and we pray this in your son's name. Amen. Amen. So today we're going to be diving into a new series called Beyond. So these next 2 months, we're going to be in this series. Today we're going to be talking about Beyond 2020, and then this next 2 months, we're going to be diving into a different topic each day, each Sunday. And just talking about beyond eternity, beyond, you know, the things of this earth, beyond, you know, depression, or I don't know, there's all of these awesome topics, and I know that the Lord is going to use it in really powerful ways over these next few weeks. So we're glad to have you guys in here in person and online joining us today as we just kick off this new year, as we're able to worship together. What a joy it is to be able to start our year that way. So this week I was looking on Facebook, and there was a message from Edgar Salguero. He'd done a little Facebook Live. He's the director at Casa Bernabe Orphanage in Guatemala, which is one of our mission points down there that we usually go to about this time of year. And all the kids, the doves on the tree out in the foyer, a lot of them are from Casa Bernabe. Some of the kids that live there at this orphanage, and then others are from another spot in Guatemala. But anyway, he's a director, and God had put this message on his heart just to be able to share with, you know, supporters and friends in the Facebook community. So anyway, I was watching that, and he said that a lot of people have just questioned him this past few months of just, you know, I want things to go back to normal. And he'd respond with, well, why? And, you know, people had a lot of valid responses. You know, I'm tired, or, you know, I want to see my family again. Because there at Casa Bernabe Orphanage, it's a home for about 100 kids, and there's people that serve as house parents to these children. And so that nobody, you know, got the virus or anything, they're all within that campus for the last 9 months. They haven't been able to leave. You know, the staff hasn't had a break. They haven't been able to go see extended family, or those that are singles, you know, see parents, or grandparents, or anything like that. And so it's been weary. So there's validity into their responses. But Edgar, you know, always asks, well, you know, why? And I think we need to ask ourselves that too, because we can think of these things of why we want to go back to normal, of what life used to look like. But we have to ask ourselves, too, does normal bring us closer to Jesus, or does normal bring us away from him? Have these last months brought us closer to Jesus, even though they've been difficult and tiring and weary, and we felt isolated maybe, and we haven't seen those that we've loved? Or, you know, have we gotten closer to Jesus, or have we felt farther away? And so it really makes you think, you know, like, man, we want these comforts of our life that we used to have. But has this time brought me closer to Jesus? Has it been worth it because of that? And when things do continue to change and life looks a little bit more normal again, are we going to continue to strive to feel Jesus' presence as much in our lives as we do currently, when we need him to be our strength when we're weary, to be our comfort and our consolation when we're feeling alone, that he would be, you know, our source of provision when we're without work, that we're dependent on God day after day because it's hard right now? You know, God's brought us to a new point, and we shouldn't always go back to the things that are normal, because maybe we're just living our comfort zones then, and that's not what God's called us to. God often calls us to the uncomfortable, but there is hope in the promise from Hebrews 13 that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So that even in 2020 and just the difficulties that it may have brought, Jesus was the same as he has been for generations, and as he is this past year, as he is today, and as he will be for our future. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and we can rest in that promise. Amen. So as we lean into this year, and we know that, you know, from moving from December 31st to January 1st, it wasn't this magical, yes, new year, woohoo, freedom, you know, like, you know, all of 2020 has passed, and here we are in a new, perfect little place. No, right? Like, it doesn't happen like that, and yet we do need to look at some of these things that have just continued, because it's just, you know, Thursday went to Friday, and boom, we're in a new year. But what are the things that have been a part of our lives in 2020 that we need to rid of this year to allow us to fully live into Jesus? As the song said, how are we going to say, God, use me, I am available. You know, let your throne, you be the king of the throne of my heart. What do we need to rid of to get to that place? So what do we need to leave behind in 2020 to be able to prepare us for 2021? You know, maybe it is just that fear of just getting out of my comfort zone, or of just, you know, not knowing what the routine's going to be, or just, you know, things are changing constantly and it's out of my control, or my selfishness and just seeking my own kingdom and not God's kingdom. Maybe it's my pride of what I'm doing, or my greed or judgment, or not caring for my neighbor as I should. What are these things that are burdening us and holding us back from living into the fullness that Christ has called us to? 2020 has made us uncomfortable. You know, we've lost control. We've lost routine. We've lost normal. But we've also found out what's truly important. It's made us think about, how are we spending our finances? What are we investing it in? What are we investing our time in? What is most important? You know, I've seen people even, you know, from within our congregation that have moved across the country to be near family. You know, it's created in our minds, what is most important when we're really humbled to this state? So let's think about that. Maybe if we haven't already, what has 2020 taught us of how we want to use our finances in this new year, of how we want to spend our time, of what we want to do as a family, how we're going to invest in the lives of others, or invest in our own lives? You know, that's our choice that we get to make. And so today I want to look at, you know, how is God the Lord of our lives? If we are Christians and we've said yes to who Jesus is in our life as our Savior, of being Lord of our life, of saying, God, you reign on the throne of my heart, then what does that look like? Is that just saying, you know, Jesus, come on into my home? Like, I want you to be a part of our lives. You know, come on in. He builds a, you know, nice fire in the fireplace, and we're able to just spend quality time together in our home. But does he also go out with you when you go to work or out to the store? Or throughout your everyday activities, or does Jesus get to stay at home while you do your other things? Is Jesus part of every area of your life, or just in certain aspects? Have you opened it up to say, God, you're in all of this. You're the Lord of my whole life. Have we given him the key to our home so that he has full access? And how about we even move beyond the point of just that, of being a guest in our home, but Lord, I want you to have your name on this deed as well. It's not just about coming and going and you just being a guest here, Lord. I want you to manage my home. I want you to manage my life. Amen. Because he is going to do it way better than we can do it on our own. We need to empty out ourselves and fill ourselves up with Jesus. How are we going to say yes to him in this new year? Where are we going to carve out time that maybe it's been filled up before, but just to say, Lord, I'm available. Use me. You are Lord over my life, and I want to be used for your kingdom, for your mission, because you are what's most important in my life. You know, the last month we've been looking at, you know, the Christmas story and the season of Advent and preparing us for the time of Jesus' birth. And we've looked at all of these different stories as in these different Sundays. And if we look at these people's lives, all the ones that were around Jesus during his birth, we can see how they said yes to God. You know, Mary, she was a young teenage girl, and an angel came to her and said, you are going to be used by God as a virgin. You're going to give birth to a son, and he will be the Savior of the world. What would have happened if she'd said no? Things would be a lot different, wouldn't they? But God had a plan, and he knew Mary's heart and that she'd say yes, right? And she didn't regret that. She didn't regret that yes. Joseph, he'd said yes, that even though his fiance was pregnant with a baby that was not his own, that he was not going to shame her or worry about what that would look like to themselves by everybody else and their families, but that he would walk forward saying, no, God, you've called me to this, and I'm going to live into it because you have a plan. The shepherds that were out in the fields, you know, it's not a beautiful job. Like, I'm sure they hadn't showered really in a while as they're out taking care of their sheep. It's kind of smelly. It's not, you know, the fabulous that are coming, and the angels filled the heavens and came down to them and said, the Savior has been born. Go visit him, worship him. And so they went and they visited him in Bethlehem and they praised him and they worshiped him, the Savior of the world that had come as a baby. They said yes to God. The wise men, you know, as they'd follow these prophecies from years and years and years, and they saw the star in the sky and they followed it, they said yes to finding and bringing this gold and frankincense and myrrh and bringing it to Jesus to worship him. And even though Herod was out to create a plan that may have been dangerous to them, in their way back home, they knew that they were going to say yes, that we're going to find him, we're going to worship him, but they trusted God to guide them back to their homes. They each said yes to God, and none of them regretted that yes. They said yes to God's kingdom work. Are we building God's kingdom, or are we building our own? How are our choices, is our availability, how is the way that we're using our gifts and our finances and our talents and our resources and our energy, is it going to God's kingdom, or is it building our own kingdom? Are we building ourselves up, or who we are, who others see that we are? Or are we giving ourselves to God and we're building up his kingdom? So there's 3 points I want to walk through today that I think will just help us as we're saying yes in this new year. Number one is repent. I think there's things that we need to repent of as we're coming into this new year. Things that we need to repent of that's in our hearts. These things that are burdening us down and that we need to move forward to believe in the gospel. And so 1 John 1:8, it says, if we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We have sin within us. We're not perfect. None of us. Only Jesus Christ was the perfect one, the blameless one. And so we need to recognize, what are these things in our hearts that are holding us back? The blame, the selfishness, judgment, the pride. What are these things that are burdening your life, or things that you've seen in your heart within 2020 that you need to repent of to move into this new year? Mark 1:15 says, the time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe in the good news. We're believing in the good news that God came, that he gave of himself, and that he paid the sin of all time for us. We repent of ourselves knowing that God is able to cover that sin, and we're able to change and believe in the good news. You know, it's not, repentance isn't just like a confession. Repenting and confessing isn't the same. If we confess our sin and say, you know, I've been selfish and I haven't put God first and I've just been building up my own life and I'm worrying about myself and my well-being, and I'm sorry, God. But, you know, we can continue to do that over and over again, and it doesn't mean that anything's going to happen or things that are going to change. But if we repent, it's like what it says in Mark 1. If we repent and believe in the gospel, then our lives are changed. You know, there's steps that take place when we're repenting, that we go from, you know, observing what is the sin that I need to repent of, and maybe it's pulling others alongside of you that can be your accountability, that are other believers, and they're helping to walk with you. They are knowing this sin as well, and they're helping you to create a plan and to be able to execute it and act it out, and so that you can move from your old ways and into a new creation. If we're repenting of something, it's because we want to turn a different way. If we believe in the good news in Jesus, he will enhance our lives. Acts 2, verse 38, it says, Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We repent in the name of Jesus. We will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And even the Holy Spirit, when he's on our lives, it will help us to come to this place of repentance. The Holy Spirit is God's gift to us that lives inside of us and helps us. We're filled with the same power that conquered the grave. The Spirit of God is living in us. So why do we need to repent? Because we need to rid ourselves of these things that are holding us down, these things that are keeping us from really saying, God, I'm all in. Of saying, God, I'm available. Of saying, God, my life is yours and I want to be used for your kingdom. To say, your mission is the most important. So let's reflect on these things. What do we need to repent of to move forward into where God wants us in this new year? You know, we need to repent of when we're not living out the great commandment. You know, Matthew 22, it says, Jesus said, the disciples asked, what is the greatest commandment? And he said, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And if we're not loving our neighbor as ourself, we need to repent of that. We are all made in the image of God. Every person on your street, every person, you know, here in Charlotte, around our country, around the globe, how are we loving them well like God loves us? How about how we love ourselves? When racial tensions came in this past year, are we recognizing, man, like, I need to change how I'm acting because I need to live into a way that I'm living equally as my brothers and sisters in Christ? That we're pushing forward into finding, you know, God, I haven't been doing my best, but Lord, rid me of maybe my judgments in my heart or my selfishness so that I can move forward into loving as you love, God, because love comes from you. In Matthew 25, you know, the story of the sheep and the goats, and Jesus said, you know, like, when have you loved me? And, you know, if you love the least of these, you have loved me. And so when are we loving the least of these that are around us? Because that's worshiping and that's loving God. How are we serving? How are we getting plugged into ministry? There's a lot of different ministries within Christ the King that do this. Where are you able to give your time and to give yourself and say, God, I'm available. I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of what's going on here and what you've called us to in the Word. You know, we need to be in the Bible because that's where we're going to find out what God's calling us to. If we're just waiting on, well, I'm not really sure what God's calling me to yet. I haven't really heard that audible voice yet. Well, open your Bible. It's all there. It's all there. It's what God has called us to. It's the truth. It's his promises. It's what he calls us to as his believers, as his Christians. Luke 11:28 says, blessed are those who hear the word and do what it says. But if we're not hearing the word, if we're not in the word, we're not going to know what it says. And so we're not going to do what it says, right? Because we don't know. So we can't live in this ignorance. We need to dive in. We need to not show up on Sunday morning and let one thing go in one ear and out the other, but that we're really listening and that during the week as well, that we're diving in. What have you asked me to do, God? Who am I as your people, as your chosen one, as a follower of you? What does that look like? Dive into community groups. Later this month, we're going to have community group signups that with other believers, we're able to help each other out, that we're able to dive in, you know, to the word together. That we're able just to interpret it and just to see how it lives out in our lives. And it's valuable and it's beautiful. What are the excuses that we're making not to live out the Great Commission? In Matthew 28, his last words to his disciples, go, baptize, and make disciples of all nations. Are we making disciples? Are we just making friends? You know, let's make disciples. Because do you want to see your children or your parents or your neighbor, your coworkers in eternity with you forever? Because if we're missing out on the discipling piece, there's a lot of people that are going to miss out on the beautifulness of eternity. Let us share the good news with them because it's valuable, because it's beautiful, and it saved us, and it has the power to save them as well. You know, if we're not Christians, then this doesn't really apply to us. You know, us as those who have accepted Christ and those that are believers, we're held to a higher accountability, to a higher standard, a higher responsibility. And so that's what sets us apart, that Jesus calls us and we should say yes. Otherwise, in Revelations, he says, if we're living a lukewarm life, then he just wants to spit you out. Right. Amen. If you feel like you're living this lukewarm faith right now,
See what you need to repent of to be able to move into a place where you're all in for Jesus. Number two, release. We need to release these things to him. After we've repented, we need to let them go and let them be to God. Psalm 51:10 says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Create in me a clean heart, a new spirit within me, that we're not held down by those sins anymore, but we're able to leave them with God and we'll be able to be made clean. It's only when we're seeking his kingdom. We need to release the building of our own kingdom and focus our eyes on him and his kingdom. You know, in the way that Jesus taught us to pray in the Lord's Prayer, which we can find in Matthew 6, 9 through 10, it says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." You know, if we've ever said that prayer before, have we really seen the posture of what we're saying? God, your kingdom come, your will be done. We're taking it off of eyes on me. It's saying, God, it's yours. We're going for your kingdom and your will and your glory, because that's what matters. Matthew 6:19-21, it says, "Do not lay up for yourself treasures of the earth, where moths and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Where is your treasure? Because that's where your heart's going to be also. What have we treasured in 2020? Or what have we realized we treasured, but we lost it because we lost control in this past year? Where is your treasure? Is it on him? Is it on the one true king? The things of this earth will fade away. But if our treasure is on him, that's where our heart's going to be also. You know, it's about what's in heaven. It's about having an eternal focus. You know, it's easy to forget that day after day of looking to eternity. But the things of this earth will fade, and that what's last forever. Like I said, we want these people around us in the room today, in our families, in our extended families, to be able to experience the beauty of eternity as well. In the matter of eternity, our life on earth is so small. But we get to live in the power and the presence of God forever at his side in relationship with him. Later on into Matthew 6, if you haven't read Matthew 6 lately, it's got a lot of good meat in it. But later into it, it talks about how, you know, if we're worried or anxious, and it says, you know, God clothes the birds of the sky, and he clothes the flowers and their beauty, and he takes care of them, and he feeds the birds. So how much more will God care for us, right? And he says, you know, do not worry about what comes tomorrow, because today has enough problems of its own. But right after that, he says in Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You know, that's pretty bold, right? If we're seeking all of his kingdom. Amen. But if we realize first, I'm going to care for you, God says. I'm going to care for you. You don't need to worry. You don't need to be anxious. And I know these months have been filled our lives with a lot of worry and a lot of anxiety. But this is saying, let it go. Seek me and my righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. Seek first his kingdom. It's going to be beautiful. Release what you need to from this past year. Let's move beyond 2020 and into what God has called us to and the beauty of this new year. Number three, find freedom. John 8:36 says, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. God set us free. What great news is that? If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Let's live in the freedom that was paid for us on the cross. God brought it there, and he left it, all the sin, so that we wouldn't have to live in the weight of it anymore, but we could find freedom. The Son has set you free, and you will be free indeed. Let us find this freedom. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. What hope, right? That we are a new creation, that the old is gone, Isn't there things that you just want to be able to forget, that you want to be able to move past? But, and that's what God says, that the old is gone, that you are being made a new creation. Let's live into that, that God can cleanse us and renew us. When we repent and believe in the gospel, we're able to find freedom, that our old self is gone and a new has been created. If we look at a little story in Isaiah 6:6-8, talks about the prophet Isaiah, and it says, "A seraph flew over to me. He was holding a hot coal. He had used tongs to take it from the altar. He touched my mouth with the coal. He said, 'This has touched your lips. Your guilt has been taken away. Your sins have been paid for.' Then I heard the voice of the Lord, and he said, 'Who will I send? Who will go for us?' I said, 'Here I am. Send me.'" Isaiah had to get rid of the guilt and the sin in his life to be able to go and say, "Here I am, Lord, send me." The same is true for us. We must rid of that sin and that guilt that's holding us down to be able to fully step out and say, "I'm here, God, send me." So here in this box, I have a bunch of hot coals so that we can do that today as well. Nah, I'm just kidding. But we don't have to burn our lips, thankfully, but we do have the power of the cross now so that we can say, "My guilt and my sin, it was left there." That I can freely say, "Here I am, God, send me." Right? I do want to give you just one little illustration out of this box, though. So here's you. You're looking pretty good. You're nice and clean and beautiful, just the way God created you to be. But yet, as things went by, sin came and it affected our lives. And it didn't look the same anymore, with the blame and our selfishness and our pride. And so it changed the elements inside of us, and we weren't the same anymore. We weren't created just perfect in the way God desired us to be. But yet, God, in his perfectness, had a great plan from the very beginning. And he sent his son Jesus, that he would be the savior of the world, that blameless and pure and perfect, that he would be able to take on the whole sin of the world, all of sin, and take it upon himself on the cross. God brought it to the cross so that sin would be no longer, that we wouldn't be tarnished and be held onto this, because we can't get rid of our sin on our own. We're just stuck like this as a mess. So Jesus on the cross, he took on all of the sin on himself, and he left it at the grave. Sin was no more. Amen? Amen. God, pure and blameless still, from the very beginning, he was what was able to make us clean. And so we, as Christians, if we believe, we are able to say, "God, I want your Holy Spirit to come over me. I want you to cleanse me and make me new." As we said, you know, if we repent and if we believe in the gospel, we release our past sin, that God, that the sin no longer has a hold on us. That it has been left in the grave, just as we sang in the second song this morning. Amen? That sin is no more, that it is conquered. And so Jesus, with his grace, he filled us with something we couldn't do on our own, and he made us clean again. That his grace has covered us, and it is sufficient so that sin no longer has a hold on our lives, so that we're able to walk out boldly and say, "Here I am, send me." Are you ready in this new year to say, "Here I am, send me"? Are you available? Are you ready to say that yes to God, to say, "All I am, God, is yours. All I am, God, it's you. You, Lord, are the one who reigns on the throne of my heart. Sin has no power anymore, and I want to walk boldly in knowing that you take all of this hurt that's in me You take all of the burden on my heart. You take the pain. You take the brokenness, the guilt, the shame. And it's not mine any longer. Jesus, you cleanse me. And it's only by the power of your Holy Spirit and your power of the death on the cross. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Believe that truth. Let that be your hope in this new year. That Jesus has come. He's conquered the grave. And he's the same. He's the one that's here to be your guide, your comfort, your strength, your provision. In a year that we don't know what's to come, but we live in the hope that Jesus is the same. Amen. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and grow you, plans for hope and for a future. God has good for you. John 6:35 says, then the Lord declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Let him be our bread of life, that we wouldn't feel empty, but that he would quench any thirst or any hunger in our lives for something that's other than him. That he would fill that void that we may have been seeking after, trying to fill, but it's this hole in our hearts that only he can fill. Let him be the bread of your life. Don't let our desires come from all the other things that are around us, but let God fill it. In this next week, we're going to be diving into our 21 days of prayer and fasting. And we do this twice a year, just as we begin the year and again in August. And so next Sunday, we're going to be starting that. And it's just going to be a beautiful time of how we can all just prepare ourselves and just meditate on him, to be reading the same scriptures every day as a congregation. I think just the unity and the wholeness of that is just going to be really beautiful in these next couple weeks. And so I just pray that you would just prepare your hearts right now. Think about, you know, if you want to fast, what you want to give up maybe in these next few weeks to be able to, you know, put your eyes on Jesus and say, okay, God, I'm hungry, but you're my strength. So let's trust God in 2021. Like the song said, I hear your call, I am available. I say, yes, Lord, I'm available. And I pray that when we were singing that a few minutes ago, that that would just be the rhythm of your heart into this new year, that you would just continue singing that over yourself and over your family. I hear your call, I am available. And like the other one, Jesus is our living hope because his is the victory. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you just for your constants in our life in this past year, Lord, and how you are the same yesterday and today and forever. That you are our hope, God. That you cleanse us, you renew us, you take sin. But as far as east is from the west, Lord, you separate it from us because of your death on the cross. Lord, if there's anyone in this room today that has not felt your love in this way and accepted you, God, I just pray that they would just open their hearts today to say, yes, God, cleanse me. I repent, and I want to believe in your word and your truth. God, let us just rid what is on our hearts that's holding us back from being able to say yes to you fully in this year. God, let us point our eyes to you and keep them fixed on you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.